Good morning. This morning's scripture will be taken from Philippians chapter 3. For those of you that want to follow in the Bibles that are tucked in between the song books in front of you, it's on page 900. So I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 3. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family. That is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I am a real Jew, if ever there was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law and zealous. Yes, in fact, I harshly persecuted the church and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Jesus to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you are mature Christians. Who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already.
Thanks, Norm. Well, good morning, everyone. So a few months ago, I watched a TED Talk, and if you don't know what TED Talks are, they're a 12 to 15 minute sort of lecture on a specific subject, usually done by an expert in some sort of field. This one, though, was more of the, TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. This is more in the entertainment category. It was a young guy named Kyle MacDonald, and I'm sure many of you have heard of a game that some youth groups play called Bigger and Better, where you start off with a pencil, and then you knock on somebody's door and say, I have a pencil, will you trade it for anything? And they say, sure, here's a broken pair of scissors. And then you take the scissors to the next house and see what you can trade. Stephanie's youth group got a tent trailer out of it down the line. But this fellow decided to see if he started off with a red paperclip, at the end of a year, not just a Saturday, what could he get? So he began, Lyle, can I unplug this one? Perfect. He began with this red paperclip, and he posted it on Craigslist, and somebody offered him a pen shaped like a fish. So sure, that's bigger and better. Traded it up. Well, then he offered up the fish pen, and somebody had a little knob from a cupboard, and he said, sure, and took that. And then somebody said, I need that knob for my coffee pot. I'll trade you a camping stove. So he got a Coleman camping stove. Well, then somebody else said, I want that exact model of Coleman camping stove. I have an electric generator. I'll give it to you. And he kept trading up and up. Well, soon he had a snowmobile, which he traded for a trip to the Rockies, which he traded for a box fan, which he traded for a recording contract to be a musician. He then had a lady from the States contact him and say, I want to be a recording artist. I own a duplex. I'll give you free rent for a year down in Phoenix. He said, sure, that would be great. Well, her other tenant said, I want free rent for a year. I'll trade you an afternoon with my boss. He's like, oh, okay, well, I don't really know who your boss is, but is it worth free rent for a year? And she said, yeah. And turns out her boss is famous musician and rock star Alice Cooper, who's not really church appropriate himself, but he is quite famous. And so she offered an afternoon with Alice Cooper. And Alice Cooper said, oh my goodness, you know, please don't trade this away for like an evening with Kiss or something. You know, don't belittle me to that. But then he got offered a snow globe and he accepted the trade. And it's not that this snow globe was inherently valuable or made of pure gold or anything like that. And if some of you may have even been following this, it did appear in news all over the world, it seems. Got quite famous, this whole bigger and better game that he was doing. And people were shocked and confused that he took a snow globe for an afternoon with this musician. That why? Why on earth? How is that worth anything? But Kyle, he knew something that nobody else did. And this is like a clickbait headline on the internet. I'll come back to this later. So this morning we heard from Norm. He spoke from Philippians 3, where Paul lists his life and religious accomplishments and accolades. These things that he's done that he should be able to boast about within his own people. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's a Pharisee. He's perfect when it comes to following the law. But then he throws a twist in there and says he counts them all as loss. They mean nothing next to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is this surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Because while Paul had all of this stuff, and it wasn't that those were bad things that he had accomplished. He was, you know, very well renowned. His teacher was Gamaliel, a fellow we see, one of the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts. He's on the Jewish High Council. And so Paul learned from the best. And that's not a bad thing. But next to Christ, it didn't mean so much anymore. Next to Christ, all these things that he had accomplished. And the same is true for us today. We can try and stretch and get more job offers, a better job, a bigger TV, a newer car, and do all of these things, maybe attempting to fill some void inside of us, the sense of purpose or accomplishment or progression. But I do believe that next to knowing Christ, none of that means anything. It all just comes back to being garbage. And that's not that it itself is garbage, but that's just showing how valuable knowing Christ is. There
are people who, you know, we try and fill our lives with stuff or new things, and there are people who can afford to do that continually.
I mean, you look at co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, and every 6 months he traded his Mercedes-Benz AMG for a brand new one because there was a loophole in Californian law that he had 6 months to put a license plate on the back of a leased vehicle, and he did not want to have a license plate because to him a license plate was boring, a vanity license plate was stupid. What's cooler than that? No license plate. So every 6 months he went back and traded in his lease for a new one. But Paul says that all these accolades, Paul's name in lights, so to speak, doesn't mean squat next to knowing Christ. And so I ask, do we feel that today? Do you know that bursting feeling inside that Christ can bring, that fullness that is beyond full, that bubbles over to everyone around us? I believe that the Father wants this for each of us, each of his children, to experience this. In Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching in parables, and he gives this parable about the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. These people in these parables, they sold everything they had to obtain this treasure because they knew it was worth more. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, if you cling to your own life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, then you will find it. So today is about the surpassing worth of Christ. That this relationship that he offers to us, and the salvation that he offers us, and the spiritual blessings and peace that he offers us, and the new life that he offers us, are all worth infinitely more than our old life and our old self. He offers us a new way to live, and tells us that it's worth leaving everything else behind to obtain. Last year, I was chatting with Stephanie's grandfather, and he was telling me a story about a friend of his. This friend was looking to retire and wanted to buy an acreage. And so he went out and found one that had just been listed, and it was quite reasonably priced. He went to look at it, and as he's touring it around, the real estate agent says, you know, it was an old man who had passed away. He was estranged from his children. They wanted nothing to do with him. And so when he died, though, the acreage was still in the will to them. But they didn't even want to come and sort through his stuff. They thought he just had nothing of value. And so everything's going to come with the house. And, you know, so then he goes outside and there's these big Quonset huts that are locked. And the real estate agent says, we don't know what's in there. Kids didn't even want to look. They figured dad just filled it with junk. So it's all yours if you buy the place. But it's probably junk that you'll have to haul away to the scrapyard. And so the man says, you know, sure, the price is good. And so he bought the place. Well, turns out he goes and unlocks these Quonset huts, goes inside, and there's these big canvas-covered lumps. Pulls up the canvas, and they're antique cars in pristine condition, worth millions. Like, there's like 30 cars in there. And yeah, so here the kids thought their dad had nothing of value for them. They thought if they could sell the estate, they'd get some money out of it, and that would be good enough. But they didn't have that relationship that they knew that, A, their dad collected antique cars, and, I mean, he obviously left it all to them in the will. He wanted them to have this, but because of this lack of relationship there, they just gave it up. They thought, well, this is all he's going to give us is, you know, being able to sell this bit of land. And but they missed out on that huge treasure that was sitting in the locked hut. So as I thought about this past week, it really made me think. Do I do the same thing with Jesus? Do I have a deep relationship with him? Or do I just go to him when I might need something? Do I see salvation and eternal life sort of like this man's children viewed the acreage? I can get in and get out without getting my hands dirty, without sorting through all of this other stuff that he has for me, and just take what I came for. But if that's what the Christian life is like for you today, I want to challenge you that there is a real depth and beauty of incredible value waiting behind a closed door. If those kids had have seen those classic cars, how might their lives have been changed? The fellow who bought the property had done so intending to retire. But instead, he started up a private limousine service, driving people to weddings and graduations and all sorts of events like that, because he wanted to experience these cars. It gave him a new sense of life, and he got to enjoy these things right now. It's often easier, though, to hang on to life as it is right now, because it's a known quantity. So many people never reach out because it's scary. So many Christians never ask Jesus to have everything that they are because it's scary. We often don't step out in faith waiting for the Holy Spirit to move in power because it's scary. What if God doesn't come through like I think he should? What if what I thought he would do, he doesn't? What if I fail? What if I look stupid? I have to say, it is called a leap of faith for a reason. We need to, at some point, trust that there is something, someone of infinite value behind the curtain, not just an old humbug pulling levers and spinning wheels. God is not going to pull a bait and switch He loves you dearly and has such a rich and wonderful blessing in store for you. These blessings are not just for one day in heaven or in eternity on the new earth, but there are so many blessings that he wants to give us right here and right now for us to experience in this life. But it does mean taking a look at our own lives. It means we'll have to be willing to let go of our accomplishments and our dreams, our aspirations for greatness, and let them fall by the wayside. Next to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, these things are meaningless. He is sufficient. He will uplift you. He will sustain you. He is worth losing everything for. Because losing your life for him is when and only when you will truly find it. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And we gain a lot more than we lose when we take Jesus up on this trade. Well, speaking of trades, I want to come back to my red paperclip story. Our hero Kyle has just traded away an afternoon with a famous rock musician for a simple snow globe. Well, it would seem like the dumbest trade ever to anyone who was watching, and people were very happy to tell him that on the internet. But Kyle confesses that he knew something that no one else did. This was the only time in that entire year of Bigger and Better that he had had a trade already arranged in advance. Every other trade just came up serendipitously, that as he got the fish pen, then somebody said, "Hey, I have a knob," and he traded. But in this case, a few weeks before, he had been contacted by a Hollywood actor, Corbin Burnson, who had heard about this Bigger and Better game and wanted to offer a paid, speaking, credited role in an upcoming Hollywood movie that he was directing. This is a pretty big opportunity. So, as it turns out, Kyle also discovered during this conversation that Corbin Burnson has the world's largest snow globe collection. Just a weird thing to have. He looks like a normal guy, and then you see him standing beside his 6,000 snow globes and questions things. So when Kyle was offered this snow globe in trade for this afternoon with Alice Cooper, he took a picture of it and sent it to Corbin Burnson and said, do you want it? Corbin said, "I not only want it, I need it. Trade." And so he traded. So now Kyle has this credited role in a Hollywood movie and gave away the snow globe. But this, to me, reminded me so much of the life of a Christian. People on the outside so often look in and say, "Wow, you gave up that to follow God? That's the dumbest trade I've ever seen. Why would you give up?" I'll let you fill in the blank. For him, can't be worth it. But just like the man who found a treasure buried in a field and sold everything he owned so that he could buy the field, my prayer is that you see something of infinite value in this relationship that Jesus offers. Nothing else even compares, because you know something that they don't. Well, after getting this offer for a paid and credited role in a Hollywood film in turn for the snow globe, Kyle got a phone call from the town of Kipling, Saskatchewan. They said, "Our town owns several homes, and they're sitting vacant. We'd love to trade you a home for this acting role." He said, "Sure, that sounds great. He's always wanted a house, and why not for a red paperclip, you know, work his way up?" So the town decided to hold a contest. They called it Kipling Idol, hoping to draw people in. So they held it on a weekend. They had 3,500 people come from around North America to Kipling, Saskatchewan. They had, I think, 600 people audition for this role. It was quite crazy. I mean, the town is the same size as Linden, so if you can imagine, 3-4 times the population suddenly descending on the little village. So within a year, Kyle had traded from a red paperclip all the way up to a home. At the housewarming party, there was the girl who had traded him the fish pen, back trade number one, and she was wearing the red paperclip on a necklace. Someone came up to him and said, "Boy, I bet you wish you had that paperclip back, don't you? It's probably worth a lot of money now that it's so famous." And this is what Kyle told them. He said, "It wasn't about the paperclip. It's not about having it or selling it or what it's worth. If I hadn't traded away that red paperclip, I'd just be a guy sitting there at his desk holding a paperclip in his hand, wondering what would happen if I did something with this red paperclip." So are you willing today to take a step of faith for Jesus? a small step, like opening a door on the farm to see what's inside. A red paperclip kind of step. My challenge that I'll leave you with here today is this. Read the book of Ephesians. You can do it by yourself or with your family. You can do it over the course of a week, or you can read it through in a whole sitting. You could journal your way through it or write the letter out yourself by hand. You can study it in depth or just close your eyes and listen to it being read. Start here. Maybe this is your red paperclip, a small incremental step towards the incredible treasures that God has in store for you. Because I know that God will honor these steps of faith. And trust me, just like Kipling, Saskatchewan, Jesus has a house in heaven that he's waiting for us to trade him for. He promised us just as much.
Please stand.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the incredible treasures that you have in store for us. And Father, I pray that each person here this week would just taste and see that you are good. Lord, that they would experience your goodness and your love in such a personal and intimate way. And Father, if there's people here sitting at their desk holding that red paperclip, wondering what would happen if they traded it away, Lord, I pray that they would just take a step of faith. And just see that you are faithful and good. Thank you for these things. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.